Andrew Kelleher, good morning.
Yeah, morning, Mike.
Yeah, Westpac, geez, you sound down. What's the matter? You had a hard night. Bloody hell. What's going on?
No. We're lifting. We're working our way into it.
Okay, fair enough. Have you been reading the Westpac McDermott and got a bit down?
That's right. I can't get myself out of this slump. Look, Westpac McDermott Miller Consumer Confidence of September. Remember, we've had issues with business confidence, but not so much at the consumer level. We didn't really see it at the consumer level. Well, not until now. The headline number fell 5.1 points to 103.5 in September. Now, this really can only be described as a sharp fall. In fact, falling to its lowest level in 6 years. And consumers particularly concerned about the outlook for their own finances and the general economy. And if you look at the responses to people's expected financial conditions in the next year, it fell to -5. Now, Mike, that is the lowest reading outside of an actual recession in the history of the survey. So this lack of business confidence is now increasingly evident in the consumer sector. The other thing to remember here, Mike, is that there should be no political bias in this survey. Now, one of the observations about business confidence is it's generally weaker under a Labour government.
Yep.
But theoretically, there shouldn't be any political bias in a consumer survey. I mean, consumers are just consumers. They're from all walks of life. They're just people. The other sort of contextual issue is the introduction of the government families package. Now, that was initiated in July. So we did see a lift in the current conditions response from the low income bracket, but that wasn't enough to offset the other concerns. The real question here, Mike, is why? And I think that's the one that I think we're just struggling for answers to actually pinpoint the exact reason. I mean, is it slowing Auckland house prices? Is it higher petrol prices? Is there an underlying unease about the global financial situation? But I think that's where the effort should go now, is why are we getting this? Why are we getting this lack of confidence now across not just business, but also consumer?
Exactly. You can't hide from the numbers. Now, listen, the bikes I've seen, the Onzo bikes I've seen, they've got a few in my neighbourhood, and they seem to be used, but now scooters, e-scooters are coming in. I tell you what, I reckon they're right. I reckon this is going to revolutionise transport.
You reckon?
Yep.
You reckon? Well, did we have a conversation about this a couple of weeks ago? Because I said how many of them you're seeing in the US, and they're just everywhere. When I was in Atlanta, you couldn't turn around without seeing one of these e-scooters. And the valuations of some of these US companies that run these businesses have absolutely exploded. I mean, one of the US companies, it's called Bird. It raised some money recently, raised US $300 million. That funding round valued that business at $2 billion US dollars.
Wow.
So this is a significant business. Now, there's 2,500 of these babies on the way to Auckland. You're right, it's Onzo, the bike hire company. They're bringing 500 of these with another 2,000 to follow. And it's all about what they call the last mile, Mike. That's the very last little bit of your trip that you can't do on the bus or the train or your shared driverless electric vehicle. Can't quite get you there. So you hop in your e-scooter, but they haven't been universally accepted. They were banned in San Francisco for a while.
San Francisco bans everything, though. They're just a miserable lot.
They were banned, but if you see something, but these things tend to accumulate in places because you just go along and you just drop them.
Right, so here's my question. Now, just to explain to everyone else who wonders what the hell we're talking about, there are bikes and scooters just randomly placed around neighbourhoods. You get an app and you unlock the bike and you ride it. Now, so the bike I understand because you pick it up and dump it anywhere you want, but what about the scooter? How are they going to recharge? So I jump on my scooter, I go for the K, I dump it. Eventually it's going to need recharging. What do they do?
Well, Mike, they have people called juicers.
Juicers. You go along and do it.
So you get paid, I don't know what they're going to pay here, but in the US, I think you get paid $8 if you can find a dead one, take it home, recharge it, and go and drop it back on the street tomorrow
morning.
Good idea. So here, every 14-year-old in town is going to be up for this. They're going to be racing around town trying to find them. What do you do? I'm a juicer. And and you use your mum and dad's electric power, and you charge them up, and you drop them back. But I can't wait to see how they go. Although, Mike, there's a lot of hills in Auckland. That's the only thing, though. There's big hills.
Yeah, there are, but there's big hills in San Francisco. And so there's big hills all over the world. There are hills. Hills are an international phenomenon, Andrew, and I think they probably worked that one out.
Good job we got you for the smart.
Just stick with the money, will you, mate? Now, what are the numbers?
This trade war, but the share markets don't seem to care. The Dow Jones, 26,439, up 191.73%. S&P 500, 2906, up 3, but the Nasdaq down 25,7931. FTSE 100, up 31 yesterday, 7331. The Nikkei, 23672. up 251 or 1.08%. And even the Chinese share market, Mike, 2730, up 31, over 1%. So they're okay with the trade war at the moment. ASX 200, 6189, up 29 yesterday. And the NZX 50 also up 29. Synchronicity there, closing at 9345, a 0.31%. Kiwi dollar stronger this morning, 0.6614 against the US, 0.9105 Aussie, 0.5666 against the euro, 0.5033 pounds, 72.46 yen. Gold trading at $1,203.48. And Brent crude lurking under the $80 mark, $79.34.
See you Friday morning. Look forward to it. Andrew Kelleher, JMI Wealth, he and the team at jmiwealth.co.nz.